UK Politics, A Way Forward, by Winston Smith. Readers of this blog will be familiar with the slow decline of Great Britain at the hands of the established political parties. Erosion of free speech, creeping cultural Marxism and political correctness, globalist politicians doing their best to destroy the nation-state, and the cynical use of immigration for votes making these changes ever more difficult to reverse. The list is long, and readers can undoubtedly spend many hours identifying the causes, symptoms and perpetrators of the changes within our great nation. Although no one reads the comments on posts within this blog, one only has to have a cursory glance at the comments to see highlighted instances of hypocrisy, injustice and treachery against the British people and British values. This post does not intend to chronicle the decline, but rather intends to put forward a constructive proposal for change. Whether the decline is an intentional strategy by the political class, international globalists, or simply a symptom of an empire in decline, the changes can be reversed. Our own vote to leave the European Union in 2016 was a beacon lighting our way. President Trump has since taken the economic nationalism torch and proceeded to light a metaphoric bonfire. Closer to home, the Visegrad group of countries continue to be EU and migrant skeptics, admittedly whilst still sucking on the financial teat. Who can blame them? They're looking after their own citizens. More recently, the Italian elections have demonstrated similar anti-EU and anti-migrant sentiment. Meanwhile, in the UK, the Conservative Party, who could have used the EU referendum as their mandate to escape the clutches of the EU, implement a sensible migration strategy, and start trading more effectively with the world, instead continue to dither, concede concessions to the EU, pay them ever more of our money and allow our beacon of light and momentum to dwindle. Never has there been a time more ripe for change. Between a hard-left socialist in Jeremy Corbyn, and a dithering Labour-like Theresa May, there is a huge swathe of lower C conservative voters disenfranchised with no one to vote for. 17.4 million Brexit voters have seen the establishment ride roughshod over democracy, and have witnessed the parasites and traitors wiggle out of the woodwork to defend their vested interests over the interests of the nation. The time for change is now. Attempting to effect change once a general election is called is futile, and we cannot afford one, two or three election cycles. The damage to our nation, values, demographics and morale may be irreversible. Why hasn't change happened already? The advantages and disadvantages of systems of government is out of scope of this post, although the democratic system has been a significant factor stunting the growth of new political parties in the UK. Some proportional representation systems in Europe have allowed growing parties to take a foothold and have an influence on government. AfD in Germany, for example, has become the main opposition party to the coalition government in only 5 years since its founding. Under the current first-past-the-post system in the UK, the difference is stark. In the 2015 election, UKIP garnered 12.6% of votes, but only one Member of Parliament. The SNP, by contrast, with a concentrated voter base, gained only 4.7% of the vote, but 56 Members of Parliament. The futility of party support being spread too thin inevitably leads to voter disillusionment, and a fear of splitting the vote amongst voters. Let's take a look at some of the main reasons why new parties have not gained traction. Fear of vote splitting or a wasted vote. Being tarred as racist, xenophobic. Biased media. Cult of personality. The fear of vote splitting or a wasted vote is arguably the biggest barrier to new party growth. The most recent 2017 UK general election demonstrated this perfectly. The UKIP vote collapsed, and by all accounts, was split between the Conservatives and Labour, both of whom promised to uphold the referendum result, thus dividing the voter base along traditional left-right economic lines. Political parties who have been anti-EU, against uncontrolled migration, and pro-Britain and the nation-state have been relentlessly tarred as racist or bigoted in the public consciousness due to the overwhelming liberal media bias and groupthink. Sadly, not every voter is a critical thinker, and are petrified of being labeled as racist. By extension, leaders of such parties, candidates and councillors also get tarred with the bigot brush, regardless of their own or the party views. Those edge cases of candidates with questionable or unpalatable views, or historical Twitter posts, are held aloft by the liberal media as examples to reinforce the stereotype of the whole party. Those leaders willing and able to deflect and argue effectively become the party. Should they stand down, the party suffers, and few are willing to step into their shoes. A new approach. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Unknown. There are three UK political parties who offer significant change that could appeal to lower C Conservatives, UKIP, under the promising new leadership of Gerard Batten, Democrats and Veterans, and For Britain. As well-intentioned and hard-working as they are, separately, it is unlikely that they would secure any members of Parliament at the next election due to the reasons outlined above. Together, as a grand coalition of the right, with combined resources, efforts, and a new strategic direction, they may well succeed. Proposal key points. A new overarching coalition encompassing the aforementioned existing parties, media personalities, EU Leave groups and the general public. Unambiguous pledges that are difficult to argue against. Effective use of technology and networking for direct democracy within the new party. No individual leadership, initially at least. Completely avoid mainstream media. Inform the public about wider issues. Leverage the skills of supporters. 1. Establish a new party based on British values, making it clear that the party doesn't care about race or colour, but cares about values and ideology. The very act of forming one new coalition would re-energise existing party members and the public alike. Bringing prominent commentators such as Paul Joseph Watson and Katie Hopkins on board, should they be willing, would extend the reach of the new party, but it would be clear the movement is about us as a collective, not individual personalities. The party would also signpost people away from mainstream media to these alternative commentators. Alternative blogs such as this one could pledge their allegiance to the cause, with reciprocal links back and forth between similarly minded communities and the new party website. Setting a launch date with the mainstream media, and then standing them up would be a nice touch. Just leaving an online video to play introducing the party. 2. The first act would be to forge a common set of pledges that everyone can get behind. There is enough crossover between the aforementioned parties to find common ground. Repeal hate speech laws. Commitment to free speech. Immediate withdrawal from the EU, with no further funding. A commitment to economic nationalism and renewing free trading links with the Anglosphere. Immunity from retrospective prosecution for armed forces. Stop foreign aid completely whilst the country is in debt. Detain those on terror watch lists, to hell with their human rights. Deportation for convicted rape gangs. Privatize the BBC. And much more. The more contentious pledges should be handled in a roundabout way. Instead of giving the liberal media ammunition to accuse the party of racism, hark back to values instead. So unrelenting pursuit of FGM convictions, with huge fines for doctors for non-reporting. Huge fines for gender segregation. Legislating against cruel hull slaughter, introduce laws against marriage to first cousins and so on. Let the left try to argue in favor of FGM, gender segregation and animal cruelty. Utilize the love for the NHS, promise funding through cutting waste, non-jobs, translators, cutting health tourism and more. In summary, set vote-winning pledges that achieve objectives, but are difficult to argue against. Don't get drawn into the trap of trying to solve everything by having a policy in all areas, simply go for the big-hitting policies. The party won't be talking to mainstream media anyhow, so will not have to answer for them. Key point 5. Should they wish to become part of the coalition, people such as Rahim Kasem, David Curtin, and prominent Sikhs should be promoted to reinforce the genuine point that the party cares not for skin color or most religions, but concerns itself with British values, the incompatibility of totalitarian religions with those values, and the draining of the UK political swamp. 3. Direct democracy. To overcome the fear of vote splitting, the general approach should be one of assured victory at the next elections. The impression should not be "we'll see what we can do," rather it should be "we are going to achieve a parliamentary majority. And we're going to do it in the quickest time ever. Are you on board?" Introducing a vote pledge site should allow supporters to register their support, whilst indicating their constituency. A visible tally showing the winning number of votes at the last election per constituency, compared with pledged votes. This would serve to give people a target, and give confidence that their vote won't be wasted. With an anti-establishment platform, and media commentators such as Paul Watson and Katie Hopkins promoting the cause, the vote pledges could very quickly mount up. We saw an example of the speed in which online activity can take place with the recent Tommy Robinson petition, garnering 500,000 signatures in less than a week. Future parliamentary candidates could be voted for online by all registered supporters in their constituency, likewise for policies on an ongoing basis. All supporters could donate funds that would pay for election deposits and campaigns. Pounding the streets and knocking on doors has been superseded. Knowledge, online communication, memes and videos are more effective. 4. Perhaps a contentious suggestion for existing party leaders, but after establishing the initial policies, there should not be a single leader in the short term. Pushing the party line should be the responsibility of everyone, and a single leader invites external analysis and a cult of personality. The overarching message should be "these are a set of policies set in stone. If you agree, join us." The party should be a movement, given direction by an advisory board, with a party leader being elected online by all supporters, through necessity, just before the next election. 5. Mainstream media holds no value. It simply tries to trip up party leaders and spokespeople. The best use of mainstream media would be to make a feature out of ignoring it. All requests for quotes, comments, interviews and debates should be ignored. All communication should be through the party website and social media profiles. Output should be across multiple platforms, so not just Twitter, but Gab too. Similarly with YouTube, a mirror channel should be operated on BitChute. Reasons for mirror channels should be explained: corporate-owned, liberal bias. 6. The party website should educate people with regard to basic politics. Simple explanations, linked to sources, should be provided. The difference between socialism and capitalism, for example, linked to information about Venezuela and other failed socialist states. The importance of free speech and why it's important. Statistics should be presented showing the amount of foreign aid spent by the UK in relation to national debt, and examples of what foreign aid is spent on. Present information about bias in the media. Explain about common purpose, the Calagi Plan and the Barcelona Declaration. Outline statistics about the number of unemployed, broken down by demographics. Be candid about rape gangs, the number of victims and their mugshots. If information was presented with solid links to sources, there can be no accusations of tinfoil hat wearing. Facts don't care about feelings. 7. Lastly, leveraging the skills of supporters would be cheap, free, and a good way to engage similarly minded professionals. Solicitors well versed in the nuances of electoral law may be willing to advise for free. Why spend valuable funds on media companies, when many motivated IT specialists would be willing to help at zero cost? Summary. Should we plod on the way we are doing, we can look forward to 10 plus more years of Conservative or Labour rule. This is fact, not conjecture. Something needs to change, and soon, or it may well be too late. Addendum: since writing the first draft of this article, Paul Joseph Watson, Count Dankula, Mark Meejan, and Sargon of Akkad, Carl Benjamin, have joined UKIP, boosting membership figures by as much as 10,000 members in the space of a couple of days. Perhaps change is a coming. Copyright Winston Smith 2018.